Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Parkhopper John from WDWParkhoppers.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times and get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast.
Hello and welcome everybody to the Disney Parks Podcast. We have an extremely exciting show for you today. Kristen Komorowski is the Executive Director and member of the Board of Directors at the Walt Disney Family Museum, and she's been with that group since 2013. We're so incredibly happy to have her here today. Now, the Walt Disney Family Museum is where you will find animation, innovation, and inspiration in the remarkable life story of Walt Disney, the man who raised animation to an art, tirelessly pursued innovation, and created a distinctly American legacy that transformed the entertainment world. Located in the scenic Presidio of San Francisco, the museum is a nonprofit organization that features contemporary interactive galleries with state-of-the-art exhibits narrated in Walt's own voice alongside early drawings, cartoons, film, music, and a spectacular model of Disneyland, and so much more. We are so excited, pleased, and honored to bring in Kristen Komorowski. Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast.
So, Kristen, we'd like to ask all of our Disney guests, how did their journey with Disney begin? So, how did your journey with Disney begin?
So, I'm actually a lawyer by background, and part of my practice was, since I had been in executive positions, I would go in. I have an HR background. I did employment law, so I would go into companies that were looking to find their next executive, whether it's CEO or general counsel, VP of HR, and help them identify good candidates for that role. But in tandem, I would tell anybody who would listen that my goal was to get into mission-driven work, and obviously a huge fan of Walt Disney. And so I was contacted about helping the museum find its next executive director.
Right.
And I got here and immediately fell in love with the museum, the mission, the family, what they were doing here. And Diane Disney Miller and Ron Miller offered me what is a dream job.
Yeah, it sounds like a dream job. So tell everybody a little bit about what the Walt Disney Family Museum is all about.
So Diane Disney Miller and her family founded the museum, and it opened in October of 2009. And Diane wanted to bring her father's story to life, showing his artistry, his creativity, and his true story, which is that he took a lot of risks and some of them didn't work out. But she wanted people to know that he was a man who came from very humble beginnings and went on to change the world. But it wasn't without challenges. And we have an incredible asset here at the museum, which was a 20-hour interview by Pete Martin that Walt himself commissioned. So it's Walt telling his own story.
Wow.
So Diane's vision was that Walt would take you through his own life, so you can hear his voice throughout the museum.
Wow, that's great. Because I don't think we always hear, we hear like Imagineers and Disney executives and people tell us the story, but it would be great to hear Walt tell his own story.
Yeah, and also to have his family. It's very interesting. In single subject museums, a lot of times the person, passed away a long time ago, so it's other people interpreting the story. But here you have Walt's own family,
yeah,
who knew him intimately, telling his story. So, so Diane's thumbprints are very much evident throughout the museum, and like all things Disney, it's just remarkably designed and built, and people can never, excuse me, quite believe what's in this museum. It's 40,000 square feet, and there are over 200 monitors, and it's truly inspiring.
Yeah. So you mentioned Diane a couple times. we're assuming that she had some involvement. Were other people that are still alive involved with the whole building and curating of the content?
Yeah, so Diane, who's Walt's oldest daughter, involved her family. So she was married to Ron Miller. Diane, mm-hmm. unfortunately passed away in November of 2013, but Ron is intimately involved. He's now the president of the board of directors for the Walt Disney Family Museum. And Diane and Ron had seven children. And so the children are involved right now. Four of them are on the board of directors, along with two of Ron and Diane's grandchildren. So the family is very much involved and supportive of the museum.
Yeah, that's great. That's good to hear. Yeah, I see always a lot of pictures of Diane in the museum, especially from Phil Sears, who sells a lot of Disney stuff. He's got a lot of great pictures of Diane in the museum.
Yeah, she also wanted to show that Walt, he became such a brand to the point that some people didn't even realize that he was a man.
Right.
But she and some myths developed about him. So she wanted to show what his life really was. He was a family man. In every gallery, there's a wall that has wallpaper from that period that's devoted to family. And Walt often had a camera in his hand. So there are quite a number of really wonderful photographs of he and his family. But it shows that Walt was a real person who really interacted with his family and friends.
Right. So you mentioned the galleries. Tell us a little bit about some of the galleries that people can find in the museum.
So the museum is divided into 10 galleries. And again, it's an overwhelming amount of information and inspiration. The average visit is 2.5 to 3 hours, and many people can't finish going through the museum in one day. But it's chronological, so it starts with Walt's birth in 1901 in Chicago and takes you through his life. So there are drawings from when he was young. There's drawings from and cartoons from his venture Laugh-O-Gram Films in Kansas City, which ultimately went bankrupt, and which is what inspired him to go to California to join his brother Roy there. There's the earliest known drawing of Mickey Mouse, which is a favorite. Lots of merchandise, Mickey Mouse merchandise from Walt's lifetime. There's storyboards or beautiful cells. We have one of the last multi-plane cameras. It stretches a couple of stories, but wow. It really demonstrates the lengths that Walt went to improve animation and get that depth in animation. And we have a lot of interactive stations. There's one that's really popular with kids that shows how Walt synchronized sound in the early cartoons, because it's hard to remember that when Walt started out, cartoons were black and white and silent.
Yeah.
And in a very short period of time, he advanced in depth and color and music. So there's a lot of demonstration of the technological lengths that he went to create these advancements. We have Walt's 26 individual Oscars, and with the Snow White Oscar with the seven little dwarves that Shirley Temple presented to him. We had a train that ran around Walt's house, the Carrollwood Pacific, at his home, the actual train that Walt would sit on and ride around his house. And then probably the most favorite attraction in the museum is the model of Disneyland, Disneyland of Walt's imagination. So the attractions that he had a hand in that are there now or were there, but things that Walt had an influence over in the park.
It sounds fascinating. It really does, because, for hardcore Disney fans, and maybe not even the hardcore, maybe even just the passerby Disney fans, to see all of that stuff curated and put in one building, it's got to be mind-blowing for many, and probably an emotional experience as well for some.
Yeah, it is, because it ends, of course, with Walt's passing in 1966. Mm. And it's a very emotional spot in the museum. But Diane didn't want it to end on that note. So there's this beautiful reflection room with all a number of images from the museum and other places that loop, and some beautiful music playing. So she wanted it to end on a high note. And somebody said to me that they're a big museum goer, and they said that most museums you come out of inspired, but right. this museum you come out of changed.
Yeah, I can see that. I can definitely see that happening. I'm assuming there's some stuff in the museum that is interactive as well. It's not all, you know, just static pictures and images and things like that. Are there like hands-on things that people can do in the museum?
Yeah. So again, there's that synchronized sound station that you can put on headphones and learn. And actually there are instruments that you can tap and play that show you, it really demonstrates how Walt brought sound to cartoons at that time. But there are, like I said, there are over 200 monitors in the museum, and many of them are touch screens. And so you can get more information, really delve into some of the subjects that are presented in the museum.
I also know that you guys do a lot of events, because I, you know, subscribe to the newsletter, and I'm always getting, oh my, I wish I was in California to go do that. So what are some of the things maybe that you have coming up for this year that you can talk about?
Yeah, so we have public programs, and we get some really phenomenal speakers with Disney legends and other people who've worked with Walt, people who've been inspired by Walt. So our public programs are generally on Saturdays, but then we have special exhibitions. So we do a number of special exhibitions every year. We have one in our theater gallery. It just opened last week for this year. It's Glenn Keane, Make Believe, The Art of Glenn Keane. Mm-hmm. And there's a tremendous amount of art and objects in that exhibition. It's really beautiful. And Glenn was here last week. And something interesting about that exhibition is that Glenn, you know, he's a fascinating blend of respecting the history of animation and really championing hand-drawn animation, while at the same time being very courageous about trying out new technology. So he has partnered with Google. He created this beautiful animation duet for the Android phone. But he also has used their tilt brush technology. So it's virtual reality headset that you put on and then you create 3D art with the tilt brush. Yeah, there's a YouTube video on it that you can see. But so Google partnered with us as part of this exhibition, and we have a display of, there's a monitor showing Glenn using the tilt brush, but then Google, they created a 3D printed model of one of the works he did, Victory Dance. And so that is on display on a pedestal that turns so you can see it from different angles.
Wow.
But yeah, Google's been just a tremendous partner. And so then we have our major exhibition that opens in May of every year. And this year it's focused on the Nine Old Men, Walt Disney's Nine Old Men, Masters of Animation. And that's curated by Don Hahn, the Oscar-nominated producer of The Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, and Maleficent. And so as part of that exhibition, Google is partnering with us, and they're going to have animators use the tilt brush technology, create art, and then create models from it. And so we'll rotate that display throughout that major exhibition, which opens mid-May.
So there's a lot of things to do. And see,
yeah, there are a lot of things to do. Yeah, we also have an annual teen animation film festival that's actually international, and we get kids from all over the world to participate in that, and that's held here at the museum in May. And we get, you know, great people from gaming companies, from Pixar, you know, industry professionals to come and help the kids also with their portfolios. So it's, you know, it's a working weekend, and then there's an awards ceremony. And so that's a lot of fun for the kids. And then we participate in the Big Draw, which is an international day to celebrate drawing. And We have that in the fall. But yeah, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, it sounds it. So if people would like to find out more information about the Walt Disney Family Museum, where should they go to get more information, location, tickets, things like that?
Yeah, so our website is www.waltdisney.org. So, yeah, please visit our website to find out more about what we're doing.
Yeah, because yeah, you're located right in the Presidio in San Francisco, right?
Right. It's an old military base that transitioned over in the 90s, and it's just a beautiful location. I'm looking out at the Golden Gate Bridge right now, and the museum has an iconic view of the bridge as well. So it's a beautiful. It's a national park, actually, and right. One benefit is that although we're in San Francisco, there's plenty of parking.
Yeah, great. That is great. Yeah. Also, can people get involved if they want to volunteer if they live in the San Francisco area?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great question. We have a really committed volunteer base, and it's interesting. I thank everybody who, you know, I see volunteering here, and they thank me back, saying that it's such a wonderful opportunity. So we have a great core of volunteers. So, yeah, we encourage anybody who wants to volunteer to please just get in touch with us.
Yeah. Okay, great. We can't thank you enough, Kristen, for, you know, giving us your time. We know you're probably busy, you know, running a museum. But thank you for coming on and telling everybody about this great little gem in San Francisco.
No, thank you, Tony, and I look forward to hosting you here sometime soon.
We're coming probably in 2019 for the expo. We think we're going to make a little field trip north if we can.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so
great.
That's our plan.
I look forward to meeting you.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, and we'll see you in the parks.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc. are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you.